especially with a name like mine, which I've always refused to change.
Right.
You know, when my parents became citizens, they asked me, and they changed their names. They asked me, do you want to change your name? And
I thought, Tommy, for instance.
Well, right. In my mind, it was, Troy? So you left. This is not going to work. And so for whatever reason, I just resisted. I could not ever change my name because I think that was my psychic connection to Vietnam, but also my statement of defiance as
well. But do editors ever try to say, this is too strange, you're writing this, because they say that to me all the time. They say, this is a little bit romantic, Ariel. It's a little bit exaggerated. Mm-hmm. You know, soy Latinoamericano, carajo. I'm Latin American as well. And I want that to invade the language.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue the conversation and post that line at democracynow.org. Yes, Viet Thanh Nguyen, for whom English was not his first language, won the Pulitzer Prize for his book, The Sympathizer. He's also the author of Nothing Ever Dies, Vietnam and the Memory of War. His latest book is called The Displaced, Refugee Writers on Refugee Lives. And R.L. Dorfman, his new book, Darwin's Ghosts, and his essay book, Homeland Security Ate My Speech. On Saturday, I'll be speaking in Catonsville, Maryland, at the Catonsville Presbyterian Church on the 50th anniversary of the Catonsville Nine protesting the Vietnam War. Check it out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
The time is now 5 o'clock p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, your community radio station. The KBOO Evening News is next.
Thank you for your support for our spring membership drive. You've helped us get to where we are.
Thank you, KBOO supporters, for keeping KBOO strong and running for another 50 years.
Thanks for supporting KBOO.
Thank you.
I'm Sequoia for Ear to the Streets of Portland here on KBOO Community Radio, and I want to say thank you to all the members for becoming members, sustaining members, and we hope that we do you proud here at KBOO Community Radio. And again, thank you. Shout out to members.
Thank you for becoming a KBOO member.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you very much for supporting all our efforts here. I appreciate you. I see you.
Thanks for listening and supporting KBOO.
On behalf of all the volunteers here at KBOO, I want to say thank you to all of our new members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And here's to 50 more years of KBOO. Thank you for your support, for letting us be our full-rounded news and public affairs, serious and fun, from all over the world. And deeply local. Thank you for supporting KBOO Portland.
Rose City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KBOO. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. or call 503-231-8032, extension 221, and speak with Aaron.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, we'll hear updates on the flurry of police shootings in the Portland area over the past 2 weeks.
And we'll talk with an instructor from the Portland Underground Graduate School, or PUGS, whose class is focused on decolonizing love and breaking free from oppressive normativity.
And we'll hear an interview with Jess Tom, a British comedian with Tourette's syndrome who is performing in Portland through next week.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, May 4th, 2018. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlund.
And I'm Ruben Lawrence. Gresham police are no longer searching for a man they once believed was on the run following a car and foot chase on Monday. During the chase, a cop fired his weapon. Gresham police announced after the incident that they were searching for a 26-year-old white male who was considered armed and dangerous and posted a police photo of the suspect. This morning, the police say that as the investigation continues, they no longer consider that man a suspect. Much about the incident remains unclear. While the initial press release stated that one officer responded to the call and fired a weapon, the department did not say how many bullets were fired nor if any struck the suspect. It is also unclear what prompted the officer to fire their gun. The Gresham Police Department's general order on use of deadly force is not readily available online, but KABU has obtained the 2008 version of the general order. It states that an officer may fire their weapon if somebody is avoiding arrest and the officer believes the person, quote, committed or is attempting to commit a felony involving the threat of death or physical injury, unquote. The order also provides that an officer must make their decision with regard for the safety of bystanders, though it is unclear how many people were around at the time of the chase. The search for the suspect closed down a section of Powell Boulevard and other streets in a neighborhood next to the Springwater Corridor Trail. KABU will update this story as more information becomes available.
Hillsborough police officers shot and wounded, quote, a burglary suspect, end quote, Wednesday morning. They say that two officers encountered the man in a home in the 2100 block of Northeast Montgomery Street. He allegedly tried to attack one officer with, quote, a sharp-edged tool, end quote, prompting the other officer to shoot. The suspect was transported to an unspecified local hospital and no updates on his condition have been released. No officers were injured. Yesterday, the man's father, who asked not to be named, told COIN 6 News that the victim was his 21-year-old son who had, quote, every right to be in our home, unquote. The 911 call was reportedly made by a neighbor who saw a man in her backyard and a smashed car window, followed by someone entering the house where the shooting later occurred. The father told COIN that his son had never been in trouble with the law, and now he has a bullet lodged in his hip and, quote, is in a lot of pain, end quote. This is the third officer-involved shooting by Hillsborough cops since June of last year. This is also the fourth known officer-involved shooting in Washington County this year and the second within an eight-day period.
Washington County's last police shooting occurred in southwest Beaverton just a week before this week's shooting in Hillsborough. In the Beaverton incident, an allegedly armed and suicidal man in a car was shot by multiple members of the Washington County Technical Negotiations Team, the county SWAT equivalent. On Tuesday, the victim of that shooting was booked into jail on accusations of attempted murder. It is still unclear how many times the 43-year-old man was shot or how many officers shot at him, though four were placed on paid administrative leave following the shooting. Two of the county deputies involved in the Beaverton shooting, Earl Brown and Corporal Cadel Edwards, shot and killed Remy Sabe in January after ramming Sabe's truck with a military-style armored vehicle. Another tactical negotiations officer involved in last week's Beaverton shooting was Hillsborough officer Justin Hubinett. Hubinett was one of four Hillsborough officers who fired their weapons at 20-year-old Daniel Edwards in early March, killing him outside of his home. It has not yet been announced if either of those deaths was ruled as justified, though a sheriff's spokesman told KABU back in January that the county's officer-involved shooting investigations can take months to complete.
Today, the U.S. Marine Corps said that it had begun a criminal investigation into the activities of 19-year-old Lance Corporal Vasilos Pistolas, who has been identified as a violent white supremacist in reports by ProPublica and Frontline. Pistolas is stationed at North Carolina's Camp Lejeune and is assigned to the 2nd Marine Logistics Group. According to interviews and an analysis of video and online postings, Pistolas associated with several neo-Nazi organizations, including the National Socialist Movement, the Traditionalist Workers' Party, and Atomwaffen Division, an underground group dedicated to inciting a race war. According to According to those interviews, Pistolis is under investigation by the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or NCIS, which typically examines felony-level offenses involving Navy or Marine Corps personnel. NCIS spokesman Adam Stump said that his organization could not comment on an open investigation and were looking into all the allegations. Through interviews, photos, videos, and the Marines' own online admissions, ProPublica and Frontline documented Pistola's involvement with various groups and his participation in assaults during the last summer's Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Pistolis also made posts via internet chats obtained by independent media organization Unicorn Riot. This is the second time that Pistolis has come under the scrutiny of the NCIS for his extremist activities. Representative Keith Ellison, a Democrat from Minnesota, is urging Defense Secretary James Mattis to investigate Pistolis and his neo-Nazi colleagues. His request also asked that the Department of Defense provide information to Congress about the military's efforts to discipline white supremacists in the ranks and filter out racial zealots during the process of enlistment.
More than 1,500 people have been evacuated from the Leilani Estates area on Hawaii's Big Island after Mount Kilauea began spewing molten rock and lava yesterday and early this morning. Lava began flowing into nearby communities, burning trees and a couple of homes, and sending people fleeing to shelter sites. Cracks in Kilauea Volcano's rift zone also sent gas into the air. Aerial photos from residents and posted on social media showed magma erupting several feet into the air from a crack in a Leilani Estates street and then searing along wooded areas nearby. The U.S. Geological Survey's Hawaiian Volcano Observatory said there are three small fissures in the Leilani area that continue to vigorously spatter lava. As of this morning, scientists say lava hasn't traveled more than a few tens of yards from the cracks. According to Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim, no injuries have been reported from the volcanic eruption, lava flows, or fires.
News organizations across the country have criticized Michelle Wolf's performance at last weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner. Donald Trump, who has skipped the dinner 2 years in a row, has called for an end to the annual event. KBOO's Ray Bodwell thinks he knows why news organizations reacted so strongly.
The Daily Show's Michelle Wolf was the featured comedian at last Saturday's White House Correspondents' Dinner. And although many of her jokes had a sharp edge, near as I can tell, she was an equal opportunity insulter. Here are just a couple examples.
I'm here to make jokes. I have no agenda. I'm not trying to get anything accomplished. So everyone that's here from Congress, you should feel right at home. Trump is racist, though. He loves white nationalists, which is a weird term for a Nazi. Calling a Nazi a white nationalist is like calling a pedophile a kid friend. Or Harvey Weinstein, a ladies' man. It is kind of crazy that the Trump campaign was in contact with Russia when the Hillary campaign wasn't even in contact with Michigan.
Some of her observations were more commentary than joke, like this.
There's Kellyanne Conway. Man, she has the perfect last name for what she does. You guys gotta stop putting Kellyanne on your shows. All she does is lie. If you don't give her a platform, she has nowhere to lie.
By skewering one of the designated liars for the Trump administration, Wolf's comment about Conway may not have been terribly funny, but it certainly rang true. One joke that seemed to get a lot of harsh criticism was when she noted that Sarah Sanders' smoky eye makeup was made from the ashes of burnt facts. I thought it was pretty clever, and since fashion decisions are a personal choice and not an accident of birth, I didn't read much into it. But apparently I missed an opportunity for outrage. Brian Kilmeade of Fox and Friends found it personally offensive. Andrea Mitchell of NBC News tweeted that an apology was owed, and Micah Brzezinski wrote that, quote, watching a wife and mother be humiliated on national television for her looks is deplorable, end quote. Are you kidding me? When did a joke about questionable fashion choices rise to the level of deplorable? Michelle Wolf's jokes pale in comparison to the viciousness that routinely comes out of the president's mouth or his Twitter fingers. If you want a couple of examples of deplorable, Here are just a few.
You could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
I like people that weren't captured.
Maxine Waters, a very low IQ individual. You ever see her? Very fine people on both sides.
In a Twitter post, he invoked religious stereotypes in describing Gold Star mother Ghazal Khan. During a deposition, he told a female lawyer that she was, quote, disgusting, end quote, when she took a break to pump breast milk for her three-month-old daughter. He's called Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg an incompetent judge whose mind is shot. He said that an American judge of Mexican ancestry could not be objective because of that ancestry. He has called James Comey, the former director of the FBI, an untruthful slimeball. Michelle Wolf is a comedian who took the opportunity of the correspondence dinner to speak truth to power. If you don't think it's funny, don't laugh, but the news media outrage in the aftermath is ridiculous. I personally think that the uproar over smoky eyes is just a smokescreen. This is the comment that Wolf made that really struck a nerve.
I think what no one in this room wants to admit is that Trump has helped all of you. He's helped you sell your papers and your books and your TV. You helped create this monster, and now you're profiting off of him.
Michelle Wolf was on the money because it is about the money. There was a time when newspapers flourished and the news department was a point of pride for broadcast networks. But the days of Seymour Hersh and Edward R. Murrow are long gone, and most of today's news organizations are corporate profit centers only too happy to feed at the Trump trough. For KBOO, this is Ray Bodwell.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, brought to you by FAIR, the Center for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. At 6, it's Bread and Roses. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather will see a low of 50 degrees with a 10% chance of rain. Tomorrow will be warmer, with a high of 74 and a 10% chance of rain in the evening. Today in history, in 1961, the Freedom Riders began an integrated bus trip through the South to challenge local resistance to Supreme Court decisions which had desegregated public transportation. And in 1970, Ohio National Guardsmen fired on students protesting the Vietnam War at Kent State University. They killed 4 and wounded 9. The quote of the day is from American expatriate writer and playwright Jane Bowles, who died on this day in 1973. She said, quote, "One must allow that a certain amount of carelessness in one's nature often accomplishes what the will is incapable of doing," end quote. Portland Underground Grad School, also known as PUGS, is a local learning community for everyday life. Its intent is to encourage curiosity and the desire to learn. We have in the studio Byron Goh, an instructor with PUGS. Welcome, Byron. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, I gave a brief description of what PUGS is, but do you think you could tell us a little bit more about it and maybe what courses you're teaching?
Yeah, it surprises me how many people don't know about it because it started 4 years ago.
And I never heard of it.
Yeah. And there's like a half dozen courses about every month. And the whole idea is that we shouldn't have to stop learning just because we're not in a formalized school.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And that we should also be able to do that with a community of people, not just like online, like Khan Academy or whatever it is, but with actual people who live near us so that we can have real discussions and actually grow the community through learning, not just through incidental things.
You know? Yeah. It sounds like it's not like, oh, you need to be accredited by this school. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's anyone. It's like if it's interesting to you, show up. You know, it'll tell you. Like if you read a course description, you'll see whether or not you know it's interesting. If it's interesting to you, show up. Basically.
Okay, so it sounds like you're teaching a particular course.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm teaching a course called Decolonizing Love.
Oh, okay.
And so, I appreciate that if you know about the term decolonizing means, basically, traditional education is sort of a colonized form of oppression.
Yeah.
So just wanting to note that outright, that like this is not like your typical like someone's in front and then everyone listens to the expert, okay. But rather it's what I found is missing for so many people is a safe space, okay. To be able to talk about these things that we all deal with, but that aren't like dinner conversation. Like it's not dinner conversation to be like, hey, you know, I dealt with like liking white people all my life and having those be like my only images of like, okay. Prosperity, right? It's like where does that come into the normal conversation?
Yeah, I mean I'm a brown gay man. Exactly, and yeah. I mean that's something that I've talked about and you know internally with myself, you know, through many years of therapy,
yeah,
and all kinds,
exactly.
of stuff. So yeah, so is this, I mean it sounds like this would just be one example of the topics you might cover.
Absolutely. No, and really the topics that are going to be covered are going to be brought. So there's a curriculum of sorts in terms of like internet rabbit holes of different resources that you can go down to really like look at other people's perspectives from a generative sense. But really the so-called meat and potatoes of the course comes with who shows up and what they've dealt with. What we've dealt with throughout our lives. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. It's not actually like nourishing and healing in the way that like real human conversations can really
yeah,
be.
Yeah, so and earlier you were saying it's not a case of someone standing at the front of the room and lecturing.
Right.
So it sounds like it's going to be more interactive from
right.
the people who are present. And it sounds like maybe the feel of the class is going to change depending on who's present and taking the course.
Absolutely, and that's why we're offering it both in May and in June on different days of the week. In May, it's on Wednesday nights. In June, it's on Thursday nights. And the reason for that, really simply, is I think you know, like right now, it's a course. I think that's important because it's a new conversation, uncomfortable. So it requires some safe space and like that curation,
yeah.
So that it doesn't like run off the rails. But really, like, I think the idea is that everyone here is resourced to go and start these conversations in their communities so that they don't have to go outside of their communities to start, like, going on these healing journeys together.
So now, will you be teaching anywhere else, like this course or other courses related to this outside of PUGS?
You know, that's going to be that'll probably be a great question to ask me next month when we talk about this, because this is so far we've done this in sort of a informal workshop format,
okay.
but haven't done it in this sort of like the really interesting cool part about this is, you know, we're doing it over 4 weeks and then people have 2-hour sessions and then they get to go in their lives. Right. And they get to go talk with people.
Okay.
And they get to find out what's going on and like get that feedback and then bring it back to this safe space and community. That's going to be really exciting. We'll see what happens next with it.
Okay. So we just have a little bit of time left here. So can you just tell
yeah.
us again when the course is, what it is?
Starts
and
next
where to
Wednesday.
Go.
Yeah. Okay. Starts next Wednesday for okay. 4 weeks and then in May and then also 4 weeks on Thursdays in June. PugsPDX.com. And for KBOO listeners, I Love KBOO is a discount code for 20% off. But honestly, there's a generosity policy where anyone can be a student. You basically can pay what your hourly rate is. So if you're making $10 an hour, that's what you pay for the course, $10 an hour for each hour of the course. So it's like anyone can learn. So anyone can show up.
Yeah, and I think I read on the website that the slogan is challenging the status quo.
Yeah.
And I think that's, that's very much in line with our values at KBOO as well.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for joining us today,
absolutely.
Byron. So if you're just tuning in, that was Byron Goh, an instructor with PUGS, which is the Portland Underground Grad School. It's a local learning community for everyday life. So if you want to learn more about PUGS and their various course offerings, you can go to www.pugspdx.com. Thank you.
Jess Tom is a British comedian with Tourette's syndrome. She's in Portland this week and next, doing a show at the Echo Theater on 37th and Southeast, just around the corner from the Baghdad. Tourette's syndrome is a neurological condition in which people make noises and movements they can't control. Does that sound funny? Well, the show is billed as a comedy with strong language and mature themes. Here's Jess talking about her condition and performance.
Jess, Tom, welcome to KABU.
Biscuit. Well, thank you for having me. Biscuit.
Jess, you have Tourette's syndrome, is that right? What is that?
That's correct. Biscuit. So Tourette's syndrome is a neurological condition, Biscuit, that means that I make movements and noises, Biscuit, that I can't control, called tics, Biscuit. So I have involuntary noises, Biscuit, and that can be very simple, just like squeaks, or it can be complex words or phrases, Biscuit. Some of my most common tics that you'll be able to hear, Biscuit, are Biscuit and Hedgehog, Biscuit. And so nothing gets lost in translation, Biscuit. When I say Biscuit, I'd like you to think Cookie, Biscuit, because I'm from the UK.
Just
Biscuit means Cookie.
Okay, we understand that. Jess, you're doing a show at the Echo Theater on 37th and off Hawthorne in Southeast. When's your show and what's it about?
Biscuit. So it's I'm doing a comedy show, and it's about spontaneity and creativity and about laughter and the location of laughter. And I think that laughter is a really powerful tool for bringing people together and understanding things that, Biscuit, otherwise might feel difficult. But it's also really important that the laughter sits in the right place.
Okay, the show is on. The show is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Friday and Saturday is the comedy show, this week and next week, and on Sunday we're hosting a family event all afternoon for children and young people to come and transform and find their own powers and transform into superheroes.
Have you had this condition all your life?
Yes, so it's an inherited condition, Biscuit, and I've had tics since I was about six. Biscuit, as a child, they were much milder, Biscuit, and less noticeable, Biscuit. And then in my early 20s, they began to intensify and have a much bigger impact on my life, Biscuit. And as they intensified, that was quite challenging, and I found it hard to adjust. But humour has played a really important part in helping me manage and live with a condition, Biscuit, that can be quite surreal. Biscuit, and I describe my tics as my power, Biscuit, because they let me collide ideas together, Biscuit, hedgehog, cats, in a way that neurotypical people often can't, so they create incredible new concepts.
Do you take medication for this?
Biscuit, I don't take any regular medication for my tics, Biscuit. I have done at other points in my life. I find that a practical approach to managing the challenges that Tourette's presents works best for me, and so, you know, it affects my mobility, so I use a wheelchair to get around because I have tics in my legs that mean that my walking is very wobbly, but a wheelchair is a great way to get around. I have tics that mean that I bang my chest hundreds of times a day, and so again I wear padded gloves to stop my chest or knuckles getting sore. And for me, those practical solutions and improving people's understanding about the condition has been really transformative. Biscuit.
What was it like growing up with this condition? Did you try to hide it?
Biscuit, yes. When I was younger, even though my tics were less noticeable, Biscuit, than they are now, I found I would really try and sort of fit in, and I might try and save my tics up and let them out in places where they were less visible to other people, like in the restroom, Biscuit. But I would put lots of energy and focus on trying to be still, Biscuit, and trying to be quiet. But obviously, trying to hold in my tics and to stop them happening took a lot of energy and concentration, and meant that then I wasn't focusing on education or on, you know, Biscuit, on being able to enjoy time in spaces. And I was restricting my life. And actually, Biscuit, taking a different approach and being open about my condition, Biscuit, means that I can be independent and I can work full-time and I can live the life that I want to live and feel happy and confident in who I am. Biscuit. Cats. Biscuit.
Do you have any advice for people who want to interact with you in a respectful and constructive way?
Yeah, Biscuit, I understand that if you haven't, Biscuit, encountered Tourette's before, it can be unusual. I'd encourage people to ask questions, but be respectful and think about how it might feel to be asked those questions. I'm really open about talking about my condition. Not everybody will be, but for me, conversations and discussions are a really essential way to increase understanding.
To hear more of that interview with British comedian Just Tom, go to kboo.fm/evening news. In addition to the Friday and Saturday night shows for mature audiences that Just Tom is doing, on Sunday afternoon, May 6, she's doing a free superhero-themed kids workshop for the younger set from 2 to 5 p.m., also at Echo Theater on 37th in the Southeast Portland. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ray Bodwell and Tom Flynn. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Sam Bowman. And the KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchant. A podcast of the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
And I'm Ruben Lawrence. Coming up Monday morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on More Talk Radio, Cecil and Celeste welcome writer and host Benjamin Dixon and your calls. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour burrows down to the roots of the great issues of our time. And at 10, on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks to Paige Embry, author of Our Native Bees, a book about the plight of the pollinators. At 11, Retired or Rewired explores aging in Portland with Dr. Karen Brown Wilson. And at 11:30, Madness Radio interviews Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Susan